You guys excited about today? Who's off tomorrow? You're not off tomorrow. You're off, James? You're always off. You're always off, James. James, I'm excited. It's Labor Day, right? Get another day just to relax, do things at the house. As my wife says, I have a chore list. Whatever makes her happy, right? Before we start today, I want to take a few minutes for everybody to take out their phones, pen and paper, whatever you take notes with. Yes, you can use your phone only for the first 4 minutes of this message. Then you have to put it away. But I want you to have a serious conversation with yourself in your head. And I want you to list out the top 4 or 5 priorities that are currently in your life. What is the most important things to you at this present time? And I want you to write them down. And I see some of you guys still looking at me, but we're going to sit here and we're going to wait. Kevin's just going to play some slow music. Go ahead and break it out. And I want you to be honest with yourself, okay? No one's going to see this list. It's not going anywhere. It's between you and God. Your wife doesn't need to see it. If you're husband and wife, do one separate. She's got different desires and goals than you, I'm sure. It's okay. Take a minute, write them down. What are the top 5 priorities in my life right now? And this is important because we're going to reflect on it here at the end of service and throughout the week. And maybe you're like, I don't know what my top priorities are, Paul. What do you think about the most? When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you think about? Throughout the day, what's your focus on the most? What do you think about second? What do you think about third? Where do you put your time, energy, and resources, your money? And continue to write these down as I begin to speak, and then we'll kick off into the message. But it's important to know your priorities so you know where you're going. And if you don't know what your priorities are, how do you keep them in line? How do you keep them where they're supposed to be? When I was over in Afghanistan, I was recruited by the Department of State to go to Afghanistan. I was a state trooper at the time, and they asked me to go over there and help them in a couple provinces do some things that they were working on. And I went over there, and I served, and I was supposed to do a year. It turned into 2 years. It turned into going into my third year. And I felt like I was pushing the envelope, you know? You know when you're kind of going too far. I said, man, I feel like I'm not supposed to be here anymore. And then, boom, I got hurt. And my shoulder, I felt like it blew my shoulder out in an incident. And my neck started to hurt, and I started to have pains, and I had headaches like I've never had before. And as time went on, my hand started to become numb, and my arm went numb, and I couldn't sleep at night. And I was like, man, something is really wrong here. So I went to see a medic. We didn't have a doctor. We were on a forward base. They didn't have doctors. You just have a medic. They travel with you on missions and stuff. And I went to him. I said, man, I'm in so much pain. Something happened the other day. I need to get checked out. And he said, well, I don't have MRI machines. I don't have x-rays, but I can give you some pills, right? That's what they do. Here's a couple things. I'll see you tomorrow. And he gave me some pills, and it didn't help. So he put me on light duty. He said, hey, I know you're heading back to the States in a couple weeks. We'll get you checked out when you go back. We're not going to send you out anymore. Just stay here until we get you a flight. I said, great, no problem. So I get back to the States, I see a doctor, and he's like, hey, your shoulder's not blown out, it's your spine. That's affecting everything else. I said, okay, well, what do we got to do to get it fixed? He said, we got to get you in for surgery. I got to adjust your spine, I have to align some things. You got some ruptured discs, you got some nerves that are being pinched, and that's why your hands. And I said, okay, let's do this, let's get fixed. This pain is just, it's not worth it. I can't do my job, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. He said, okay, well, once we have the surgery, you'll immediately start to feel better. And I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. You hear a doctor say that. You're like, put that in writing somewhere. And sure enough, as soon as the surgery was over and I'm in a neck brace and I'm sitting at the house, I was drooling a little bit because the meds they gave me, I was like, whoo, nap time? Just take one. I was, my sister's got some good pictures of drool coming out. But when I woke up, I started to immediately feel better. The symptoms have started to subside. My headaches weren't as bad. I could start to feel my fingers again. My shoulder felt good. And as I was writing this message, I'm thinking about that's the way we are in our Christian lives sometimes. When our priorities that you just wrote down aren't aligned, things get out of whack. And we start to have some symptoms some things going wrong in our lives, don't we? We're like, man, my marriage, I don't know what's going on. We're in this weird season, and man, my kids, they're just acting up left and right. I mean, I thought it was terrible twos, but man, it's like 14 years old. What's going on? Or man, my spouse isn't meeting all my needs. My spouse should be doing this for me. I work so hard. She should be cooking dinner and cleaning the house. And I thought about my spine, and I thought about our priorities, and I thought about the symptoms. And God says, no, like when your priorities are aligned the way that I've commanded them to be in Scripture, these symptoms will start to fade. These problems and issues. I'm not saying if you're a Christian and you have your priorities aligned, you're not going to have problems. You're going to. We live in a broken, sinful world. That's all there is to it. You're going to have problems. You're going to face trials and tribulations. But when we are misaligned with the Word of God, when we are misaligned with who God is, we're going to have problems. We're going to have situations. We're going to have some symptoms show up in our lives. And one of my favorite essays that I've read, and this gentleman is from the 1940s, E.M. Gray. I love business and entrepreneurship and fixing things and making things work better and more efficient. That's just the way I'm built. He spent his life interviewing, talking to people. His whole thing was, what is the common denominator in successful people? What makes them successful? So he spent years and years and years interviewing billionaires, millionaires, business owners, people that had just taken things to another level. And he came up with that it wasn't hard work that was making somebody successful. While that's very important, it wasn't good luck. They didn't just win the lottery and then they became very successful. They probably won it and spent it as fast as they want it. You guys see that TV show. It wasn't the human relationships that were around them. While those are important, what he found out is that the people that were successful were the people that were willing to do what other people aren't willing to do. I mean, can you imagine spending your whole life trying to find out the common denominator of something? And he put it up in three words: first things first. And that's just not important in success. But the Word of God here sets priorities that lead us to live the best life we can possibly live. He says, I'm going to lay this out for you in the Scriptures, in Ephesians 5 and 6, and Colossians 3. I'm going to lay out for you what it looks like to have your life in order. And I wonder, are we doing it backwards sometimes? Do we have things out of whack? Are we feeling the symptoms of it in our lives? Do we not have peace? So the Bible sets these priorities out for us, and God tells us that it is vital to put our priorities in order. And then, you got to put it in order first, right? And then to cultivate each one with zeal and enthusiasm. So put them in order the way I'm commanding you to, and then develop them, and then put time and energy into them, and then go after them and keep them in that position with zeal and enthusiasm. I've heard it said before that things which matter the most must never be at the mercy of the things that matter the least. Unfortunately, we don't seem to figure that out until somebody gets sick, until somebody dies in our family. Man, I just didn't realize how important this was. We never sacrifice what's most important in our lives for something that we barely care about, do we? But it's up to us. We have to decide today, what is the highest priority in your life? And then we have to be okay with saying, I know what it is, I'm keeping it there. And there's a lot of good things out there, but I want the great things out there. Because my Heavenly Father in heaven says he wants the most amazing things for us. He doesn't want the good for us. And you're like, Paul, well, how do I do that? The yeses in your life, the priorities in your life have to be burning so much inside of you that you say, this isn't even worth looking at. This isn't even worth paying attention to. How many of you guys know that Satan is very, very good at, here's the good. Hey, check this out. The great's over here. Satan's dangling it in front of us saying, here you go. And sometimes it even looks like God, doesn't it? If you're not paying attention, if your priorities aren't in the right spot, It's easy to mistake something that Satan is dangling in front of you thinking it's God. I was praying for a sign and I drove down the road and I saw a sign. Could it be God? Yeah. Could it be Satan? Yeah. Could it be that company just put the sign up? Yeah. I'm just saying, where are your priorities? If your priorities are aligned with God, you know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what he's calling you to do because you're in the scriptures. You're spending time with him. You're cultivating a relationship with him. God doesn't want the good for you. He wants the great for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you so much this morning. We thank you that in your scripture, you have laid out for us the priorities of our lives. You have laid out what is important to you. And God, today, I pray that as we speak this message, that you just begin to soften people's hearts, that you just begin to show people where their priorities lay and where they should lie, God. And help change our mindset. God, give us a heavenly focus instead of an earthly one, Lord. Speak to our hearts today. In your name, amen. Amen. So when we become a Christian, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, the Holy Spirit enters us, and then we begin to have a different mindset on things, right? We're not thinking about those earthly things as much. We start to begin to think heavenly and eternal. And I know that God is calling every single one of us today to have a different mindset, to not be trapped by the world, to not be trapped by the world's things, and to have a mindset of what's important to God, what's on the heart of God today. Not what's in it for me, not what's my selfish desires, what can I get out of this, how much money can I make, how big can I grow my business. Those are good things, and those are okay things. But where is your top priority in your life? And I want to speak to you guys today about the five priorities of living the best life, of living the best life. And I mirrored this message off of Ephesians 5 and 6 and Colossians 3. So if you want to write those two down, maybe this week while you're going through your devos, read through them and pray about this message and pray about where your priorities lie and let God speak to you. But the first and most important priority is our relationship with God. And it's God must be first. There is no if, ands, or buts. I love this verse. When Jesus gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, there was no confusion. You can't say, well, I can interpret it this way, or I can interpret. You can't. And in Exodus, he says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Like, you can't try to tweak that a little bit, right? You shall have no other. What does that mean? I shall have no other gods before you. You will have no other priorities above me. Nothing will be more important than your relationship with me. And he means that you have to place value and relational credits in that. Well, how do I do that? Spend time with God. Walk with God. Get up and do your devos. Pray every single day. Speak to him. The Bible tells us of two stories. And the first one is of Mary and Martha. And you guys know that Mary and Martha were sisters and they were good friends of Jesus. And Jesus came into their home one time. And they each wanted to serve Jesus a certain way. And we're going to jump right into the story. And it says, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. But Martha was distracted by much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me serving alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. You know, when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, that's even like when your mom, you say, Paul, Paul. You're like, oh, man, this is going to be bad. You are worried and troubled about many things, but no one thing is needed. But only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Jesus is basically saying, Martha, Martha, you have your priorities in the wrong place. You're serving before you're having a relationship with me. And I've called you that I need to be the number one priority. I need to be the one that you meet with more than serving. Now, serving is a great thing, and the Bible tells us to serve one another, and there's nothing wrong with serving, but Jesus is saying it was in the wrong priority. It was in the wrong spot. How are you coming to serve me and you don't know me? You don't spend time with me. You're not communicating with me. Your priorities are out of whack, Martha. But Paul, how do I know if I'm placing God in my number one priority, in the top priority? I feel like I am. I mean, I read my Bible a couple times a week when I'm not too busy at work or I have to be up early. And I come to church every... I'm actually part of an e-group too, Paul. Yep, first time. Did I get like that extra star? No. No extra star. We don't give stars here. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're in an e-group. But the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. So where is your mindset? Who do you go to first when you need something, when you're in a struggle, when you're in a bind, when you want to say thank you because everything's going so well? Who do you speak to first? Throughout the week, who's your counsel? Is it your best friends? Is it your spouse? Is it your pastor? And those things are great to do, but God's saying, where does your priority lie? Everything should be coming to me first. If you have a need, a desire, I know what those are, but I need you to speak to me because I can help align the rest of what you're doing. Come to me first with it. And then all of these things will be added unto you. These other things that will be added, they can't even happen until you come to him first. So God is saying, I need to be the first priority in your life. And I truly believe that what we seek is the fruits of the Spirit. I see some kids in here. I'm not talking about apples and oranges and stuff like that. The fruit of the Spirit, when you accept Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And then the fruits of the Spirit are things that come from that relationship. Kindness, love, gentleness, self-control. All these different things, faithfulness, joy, peace. I think people that aren't even Christians want those things. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want more peace in their life, more self-control in their life? I don't think anybody wakes up and says, man, I want to go cheat on my wife today. We all laugh about it, but it happens all the time. It's because our priorities are out of whack. Nobody says, I'm going to get up this morning, drive to work, and road rage the entire time because I have no self-control. But it happens. I've done it, especially if Kelsey's driving. I'm actually yelling at her, but whatever. She's not in here, right? Okay. Oh, hey, babe. What's up? But we don't wake up intentionally trying to do these things, but we should be waking up every single morning and getting into the presence of God so that the fruits of the Spirit can come out in our lives. So that when we go to work, people are saying, man, there's something different about that guy. Man, that girl's got something, I don't know what it is. Why is she always kind? Her boss was just so mean to her. Why is she kind back? Why is she still working so hard? Like, she's getting the same amount of pay, whether she does 10 things or 20. Why is she working so hard? Because the fruit of the Spirit is coming out in her. And she said, I'm not doing it unto you. I'm not doing it because you're my boss. I'm doing it as unto the Lord because he has blessed me with this. So I would ask yourselves, what fruit is coming out in your life that others can see? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Because if it is, then that probably means you have God in your number one priority. But maybe if it's these other things, the anger and the strife and the selfishness, maybe we need to check our alignment and say, okay, maybe some other things have come up and have pushed up into my number one spot that I'm blinded to right now because I'm working so many hours. I'm trying to provide for my family. I have a lot going on, but maybe I need to take a minute to sit back and just say, what's really the most important to God? Our next priority is our spouse. Write that down, our spouse. I didn't say kids. I didn't say family. I said our spouse. Maybe you don't have a spouse here. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe your spouse died. Maybe you just have never been married. Don't check out on this point. Don't say, oh, I'm not married. I don't have to worry about this one. I'm going to jump right to number three. Paul, I'm going to check back in. I'm going to be on my phone. No. You can't. Because God can do amazingly abundantful things in your life. I don't think I can ever have a spouse again. I'm too old. I don't think God has anybody out there for me. I'm just too much of a hot mess. It's never going to happen. If God's in your number one priority, anything can happen. Amen? 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 If you ain't married, you better be saying amen. Come on now. And I know for me, when I was looking for a spouse, I said, man, I got to find me a woman. Woo, what's up? Nothing. Duds. It's just the truth, babe. Duds. And it wasn't until I finally put God in my number one spot. And I said, God, what is going on? Like, these women are crazy. Amen. He's like, Paul, I know. I said, thank you. Now, how do we get back on track? Find me one that's not. You know what he said to me? He said, I need you to fast from all that stuff. I need you to get your priorities straight and spend it with me. And then you will get these things. And as I started to do that, God says, Paul, if I would have gave you that amazing, beautiful, godly, righteous woman, you would have messed her up because you weren't ready for her. You had too much in your own personal life that you had to get fixed, that you had to come to me with and get forgiveness for and repent from and get freedom from before I would have gave you that flower. You would have killed it. And I said, man, holy cow, God, I didn't know it was that bad. Like, killing flowers and stuff. Come on, man. But that's the truth. Maybe you're not ready for the spouse yet. And God's working on you, and that's okay. Because every step you're taking, you're getting closer, right? So don't check out if you don't have a spouse. But if you have a spouse, your spouse is your second priority. Colossians 3 continues in verses 18 and 19. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Like, why does God say men don't be harsh with our spouses? He doesn't say that about the women. Just saying, soapboxing it. Guys, we get this thing like we're on the top. We get this thing like it's about us. I'm in charge. I'm working. And she's probably making more money than he is, but you know how it is. I had a hard day. Guys, don't be harsh with our spouses. They're a gift from God. And then Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And as I was reading Genesis 2 about creation and how women and spouses, everything came about, there was only one deficiency in Scripture. And it says, and it is not good that man should be alone. So God says, okay, it's good for man to not be alone. And then in the same verse, he says, but I have a solution to that. I have something for that. And he said, I will make him a helper fit for him. And I'm like, oh, okay, there we go. There we go. We got some women on the planet now. Things are starting to move along. So actually, Eve was the solution for Adam's deficiency. That'll pop your bubble, men. Uh-huh. Being harsh with your wife. She's going to be saying that to you all day. I am the solution for your deficiency, baby. Remember that. It's in the Bible. Yeah. She'll pop your bubble. Kelsey's already said it to me twice. So as I dug into a helper for him, God created a spouse, a helper for him. What does that mean? What's a helper? And in the Hebrew, all it means is an ideal partner. And I'm like, okay, I have an ideal partner that's fit for me. What do you mean fit for me? What's fit mean? Like some guys think up here, down here, like all over the place. Okay, fit for me just means according to the opposite of him. How amazing is our God that he would create someone who is the opposite of you and give you as an ideal partner? Can you imagine being married to the same, everything you like, she likes, everything's the same? You're just like, to me that would be boring. That'd be boring. I get up, go to work 6:30. Wake up, Kelsey, before 9, you're going to get your throat cut. I'm just saying, opposites. It's cool. But while I'm in bed at 10:30, she's up working at night. It's okay to be opposites. There's nothing absolutely wrong with that. But we see that God's top priority was him, and then he said, let me make a helper, a spouse, in the number 2 spot. And as we continue to go down, he says, okay, and then number 3, the third priority of our life needs to be our children, our families. You notice he doesn't put children with the spouse. That's very important that we understand that. Are there any children in here? Anybody under 18? Come on. Pay attention right here. Listen to this. I know this is like adult church and Surge is tonight, but it's canceled, so you have to pay attention in adult church, okay? Okay. God is speaking to you, children. Colossians 3, 20 through 21. Children, obey your parents. Cricket, cricket, cricket. I see everybody looking at their parents like, just because he said it, you know. I don't even like this church. We shouldn't become members. But why? Not because they're your parents. Not because you're supposed to. Not because they'll discipline you. But God says, for it pleases the Lord. You can be a 15-year-old, a 10-year-old on fire for God, a 12-year-old that understands, I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because it makes my God happy and because he's commanding me to. And then it goes on to say, fathers, do not agitate your children or they will become discouraged. Man, men are just getting beat down today. Don't be harsh to the wives. Don't aggravate our kids. But it's very true. Us as men, we have to be careful about our words. We have to be careful how we serve our family because it's very easy to discourage our kids, our wife. We should be encouraging them, serving them, lifting them up. Maybe you don't have children right now. Maybe you desire children. Maybe your children have come and gone. They can come back. I just had it happen. Mine went away for like 3 years, living like 8 miles away. Dad, I need this. Dad, I want to buy a house. Can I get a down payment? Dad, I'm like, I thought we finished this when you were like 18, dude. Like, what's up? You know, just want to be closer to you. I'm like, you're full of it. Get out. Get out. I know you're lying. I know you're lying. But if you don't have children, again, don't check out on this. My sister, I'm talking about my family a lot, and I hope they're not listening to this, but if they are, cool, whatever. But my sister had a couple surgeries, had some stuff. I can't have kids. Wanted kids. Loves kids. And 7 years later, she's adopted 5 kids from another country. So our God is amazing. He can do amazing things if you put him in number one spot. He can open doors for you. I've known people that couldn't get pregnant. Somebody in our church can't get pregnant, and boom, you're pregnant. Someone prayed over me. I'm putting God first. I'm putting my husband first. God can do amazingly, abundantly more than you can ever imagine or dream. So please don't. If you don't have children, you want children, keep praying. Pray with your spouse about it. Get people to pray for you. But we see in this verse, children, obey your parents, for it pleases the Lord. So we see that children are placed under the authority and protection of the parents. And that's why they're in the number 3 spot. They are underneath our protection. So our job as a parent is to guide them, mold them. How can I help them draw closer to God? What can I teach him about finance? How can I teach him to be a young man that is just on fire for God and that is just ethically bound? How can I help my kids grow? Not in the way of the world, but in the way of God. So we see that they're under our protection. Proverbs 13, 24 says, whoever spares the rod, meaning discipline, hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. It's not saying you enjoy it. It's not saying do it every time you can. But God gives us that responsibility as a parent. And if you're disciplining your children, let me give you a little piece of advice I've learned. Soapbox time. See, when I step away, I'm on soapbox. If you discipline your kid, tell them why. When you're done disciplining your kid, tell them you love them. My father would beat me when he comes home from work, and he never would tell me why. I know what I did. I made mom mad. She said, when your father gets, that's all she had to say. Boom, the rest of the day I was good. But if you're going to discipline your children, love on them afterwards. Hey, why I discipline you is because you did this, and it wasn't right, and I still love you. Even when I discipline, I hate to do it. It even breaks my heart. Let them know why. Let them know that you're trying to make them a better woman of God, a man of God. I'm trying to teach you this so you don't turn 20 and stumble and fall into something way worse than this. Just spend time with your family and explain that to them. I do want to talk about blended families for a minute because I don't know if you know that 50% of marriages in the United States, more than 50% are blended families, meaning husband, wife, they got split up, they each had kids, they go and they meet 2 other people and they get married. They call them step families in the government. So more than 50%, 1,300 families a day in the United States come together this way. OK, okay? Previous marriages, previous kids. And the reason why the children are underneath the spouse is because the spouses are in charge, right? The parents are in charge of this. But I'm here to tell you today, if you have a blended family, your spouse comes first. She has to come first. God has put her in that position. You're an ideal partner, and the children come underneath that. My brother had a little girl, wasn't married, wasn't living for God, beautiful little girl. And for about 4 years, for a couple years, he didn't date anybody. He was just taking care of his little girl and meets this beautiful Christian lady. And he falls back in love with God and puts God back up at number one. But for the first couple years of their marriage, it was just torment. He kept putting his daughter in the number two spot over his spouse. And it just created so much conflict and so much disorganization and all these different things kept going on. It wasn't until he understood where his priorities should be. And now that he's done it, his wife is number, I'm telling you, they're in love more than anything. The kids have bonded more than anything. They see the way it's supposed to happen. You know, even through trials and tribulations and a divorce, God can do something beautiful. God can bring some families together and merge some families and do some wonderful things. But I'm here to encourage you today that if you have a blended family, you're part of a blended family, keep your spouse in the number two spot because the children underneath you are still underneath both of your authorities. I'll never forget what my dad used to say to me. He'd say, right before he disciplined me, he'd say, "Hey, you will respect your mother." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You know why?" I said, "No, sir." I'm like 10, you know. He's got a belt and a whip in one hand. I'm like, "What's up? I'll just do whatever you say right now." He said, "Because she was here before you, and she'll be here after you." And I never got it till I got older. I was always like, "Man, where am I going? What do you mean after? Are we going for a ride in the car or something? Like, what are you talking about? You getting rid of me?" And I never understood it until I grew up, and I was like, "You know, that's right. She was here before you were born, kids. She's the priority in his life. And they are under our protection and our authority." The fourth thing that God shows us through his scripture is that our occupation is number four. Our jobs, our careers. Some of you guys are like, "Whoa, this sounds so messed up. Like, how is my occupation number four? I do that the most. Like, I work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Like, that's just where I spend most of my time." But God's saying, "I understand that, but that's not your highest priority. Your occupation is number four. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Whew. I read that and I was like, "Oh, that's going in the message. That'll hit you in the gut." That's how important family is. God has entrusted us and says, "I need you to provide for your family before you do anything past that. It's your job. It's your responsibility. They are a priority in your life. And I need you to do that." Colossians 3, we'll continue verse 22. It says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do." So once God gives you that occupation, that job, that career, he says, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them at all times. Try. I've had a boss, there ain't no pleasing them one time. But you notice he says try, so I tried. Didn't work out, I can't do anything about that. Amen. Not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverence, fear for the Lord. So you see that again, fear them, serve them, why? Kids, honor your parents, why? Reverent fear of the Lord. You might not be in the career you want, the job you want, the position you want, but God has put you there for a reason. And he's saying, "I need you to show the fruits of the Spirit to these people in this job. I need you to show these people who I am by your actions. And then the rest will be given unto you." We need to have our priorities in that order from God, our spouse, our children and our family, and then our careers. You were not created for your job. You know that? God did not say, "I'm going to put you on this planet because I need you to do this in this work field." Is that a byproduct? Is that good? Yes. He's saying, "I'm going to give you a way to provide for your family," but he didn't create you to be a CPA. He didn't create you specifically just to do that. He created you to serve him. He created you to follow after him and to share the good news of who Christ is in this earth. The final priority that we're going to discuss today is your ministry. I know some people are perking up in here. It's church, right? My ministry comes after my job. Yeah, it truly does. When you say ministry, when I say ministry, every single person in here was created for ministry. Well, I don't work for the church, so it has nothing to do with the church. You were created to minister in your workplace. You were created to minister to your spouse. You were created to minister to your children. You were created to make change in this world. And God is saying, I need you to put some other things in front of your ministry. I can't believe you're saying to put my ministry before my job. I mean, after my job and after my family. I feel like ministry, you know, I'm super religious. I feel like ministry should be my top priority. I'm not saying it, God's saying it. In 1 Timothy 3:5, he says, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? God's people, your ministry. If you can't even take care of your own family, how do you serve someone else if you can't serve your wife? Come on. How do you come in and serve here at Emerge Church if you're not serving your kids? You're not doing it as unto God, because God said, here's my priorities for you, and you're putting them out of whack. Ministry can't take the place of God. Ministry is not, how do I do ministry without my career, without my job? If I'm not providing for my family, how can I come and do ministry? God's commanded me to take care of my family, and then these things will be added onto you, then your ministry. If God's not in the number one spot, how do you know what your ministry is? Come on, somebody. How do you know what you're supposed to be doing for God? Are you just here on earth, just floating around? Why are you here? Why did God create you? He said, if I'm not in your number one spot, how do you even know what that is? You're just making it up as you go along. Well, I don't know what it is, so I'm just going to go serve on Sundays, and I guess they'll put me somewhere wherever they need me. How's that serving God? That's serving man. Yeah, they have a need. Yeah, I'll step in. What? How about, man, I have a burning desire, a burning yes in my heart to serve someone. How can I serve? How can I show people who Christ is through my life? Our occupation provides the finances to allow us to do ministry. Think about the tithe that comes into to the church that allows us to go out and do these different things in the community and start church and plant church. How are we doing that if we didn't have jobs? Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, and it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Why are you doing what you do? Because I know there's an inheritance for me in heaven. Our mindset's no longer on these earthly things. It's on, what does God want me to do? How can I advance his kingdom? How can I share the love of Jesus with people? In our ministries, we need to make sure it's God we're serving. If you're on a serving team, if you're on an e-group, if you're a leader at the church, if you're wherever, your job place, a nonprofit, it doesn't matter where, make sure you're serving God. Because it's very, very easy to fall into the trap of serving men. Oh, Pastor Paul asked me to do it, so I'm going to go and do it. Maybe that's just a good, it's not a great. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity, but I just don't feel like God's calling me to that right now. Great, because I want you to succeed in the great too. So does Pastor Wayne. I'm going to wrap up with this. I want us to feel the weight of these priorities, and they're just not a five-point message. It's not, if you want to live the best life, they have to be in the right order. How dare we wake up every single morning and put our job in front of our spouse. Feel the weight of that. You work every day, get home at 5 or 6. If the kids don't have sports, you maybe have a couple hours with them. How dare we let our ministry or our jobs affect our relationship with our spouses, our kids? How we come home and we're exhausted. Yeah, I'm exhausted, babe. I had a hard day. I need you to make me dinner. And why is this house a mess? And blah, blah. How is that serving your spouse? How is that being an ideal partner? And God says, no, that's out of whack. Like, huh? What a tragedy that we would take our ministry and put it before our God. Yeah, I'm going to go serve. I can't believe I got to serve. They asked me, they sent me a serve thing, and I guess I'll go. This is ridiculous. But I'll be there. Hey, everybody, I'm here. Hey, blessed to be here. So excited. I couldn't wait to get up at 7:30 on a Saturday and go cut some trees down, but Jesus is my friend. How dare we, and what a tragedy it would be to put our ministry before our God. Before you spend time with God, you're serving somebody else. Feel the weight of that. Feel like something's wrong. We need to remember that God loves us more than we love ourselves. God loves your spouse more than you love her. God wants you to succeed more than anybody. His dreams are so much bigger for you than you can ever imagine. So why would he set up some guidelines for us to stay within? Because he wants to protect us, because he guides us. He doesn't want you to fall. You would never send your son or your daughter into something that you knew was going to hurt them. You'd say, hey, listen, if you do this, this, and this, you're going to be good. Hey, listen, you're stepping out of line. That's what God's doing to us. He's saying, listen, guys, some of your priorities are out of whack. And guess what, guys? Maybe your priorities are perfect. Maybe you're on fire for God and your spouse is number two and your kids are number three. Like, everything's perfect. That's great. But I want to encourage you to fight for those with zeal and enthusiasm, because it's so easy to let one slide. I know for me, it's easy to let my work slide up. Well, it's just a busy season. That's an excuse you're going to use with God. God, sorry, I didn't have time for you today. I got to go work. You don't think you can get more out of spending time with God and God can bless your day and guide you throughout your whole day than not spending time with him? He's saying, no, I need you to focus on me first, and then these things will be added unto you. I want to challenge you guys today as you go home. You guys wrote some priorities down, and you've heard this message, and you know the scripture, and I want you to go home this week and in your Devo time, if you're not on a reading plan, or even if you are, read it at night. Dig into the word and see what it says about that. Colossians 3, read it. And say, God, this is where I feel like my priorities are at, and this is what you're telling me. Open my eyes and show me how to change my priorities. Help me to keep those priorities in the right order. Because I know I'm human. I know I'm sinful. I know I get selfish at times and distracted at times. Help me to keep them in the right order, God, with zeal and with enthusiasm. And God says, when that order is restored, when that alignment is restored, that's when the blessings get released. You heard it a couple times, and then, when order's restored, and then the blessings are released. If you want blessings in your lives, we have to prioritize the things that matter the most. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time together, just to learn more about you, to learn what your priorities are for our lives. God, I pray that throughout this week, even if it's a busy, hectic week, that you speak to us and you tell us where our priorities are. And if you need to tweak some priorities, God, that you move our heart. You open our eyes. You help us, God, because we can't do it on our own. God, we admit that today. We cannot do it on our own. We need your help. Give us alignment in our life. Take away the symptoms and the pain that we're experiencing in these other areas when we're not aligned with you, God. As we align them, let them subside. If you're here today and maybe you don't know God, Maybe you don't know the fruits of the Spirit. Maybe you know God, but you haven't had an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you don't know what the fruit of the Spirit is. And you're saying, hey, I want peace. I want love. I want joy. I want self-control in my life. I want these things. I want to know who this Jesus is, that he can do all these things in me. And it's nothing that I'm even doing. I'm not even worthy of it. If that's you, I need you to take a step, and I need you to put your hand up and say, God, look down from heaven. It's me. God, I'm looking up at you and you're looking at me. I'm the one that needs your help today. Or maybe you're caught up in your own priorities, that you haven't looked at God's priorities lately. And you're saying, hey, that's me, Paul. I got caught up in my occupation. I got caught up in my ministry. I got caught up in my spouse. I got caught up in my children. And my priorities are out of whack. And I want to correct that. But I need God's help. Raise your hand this morning and say, that's me. God, I need your help this morning. God always requires us to take a step first. Whenever he did a miracle in the Bible, somebody had to take a step. The person that had diseases in her body, she took a step. She touched his garment. She was healed. People brought and dropped people through a roof for healing. There's a step that has to be taken. And if that's you today, you say, I want my priorities to be in the right order from this moment on. And God, today I declare it in my life. Just raise your hand. There's hands up everywhere. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we pray for the people who raise their hands for salvation. They want to know you, God. I pray that you would just enter their heart right now. Show them who you are. The people that raised their hands and said, I want to align my priorities with the Word of God, not with what my spouse says or the world says or my job says, but with the Word of God. I pray that right now you would give them a renewing of their mind, that you would give them a earthly focus would just be smashed, God, and that a heavenly focus will come into their minds and their hearts, and they're passionate about what you're passionate about, God. And repeat this after me, everyone together. Whether you want to know Christ or you want to better know Christ and get your priorities aligned. Dear Heavenly Father, we don't deserve you. We ask that you come into our hearts today. Renew us and give us a new perspective of who you are. We accept you into our hearts. Lord, we don't deserve you. We repent of our sins. We repent that our priorities are not in the right spot. But from this moment forward, help us to keep our priorities aligned with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's put our hands together for God. Yes.